1 Corinthians 16, and look with me in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, and verse 13, Paul writes this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." He's come to the end of this epistle. It's written to a New Testament church at Corinth, and he's reminding them, just getting them in, like I mentioned the other night. Things come to mind, and he's reminding them some important things before signing off. Now, we know that there was a second epistle to the church at Corinth, but when he wrote that, he didn't know there was going to be. So he gives them these things, these four things to remember. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. Amen. Very important things. That's what I want to preach on tonight. Four things to remember. I'd like my dear friend, Brother Paul, to pray for the service tonight. Would you do that, my friend? Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. So let's take them one at a time. Real simple outline. Of course, you know me by now. I'm the simple guy. You want deep stuff, you're going to have to get Drummond back up here. And amen. But I'm just going to give it to you like it says. It says, watch ye. The first thing he said, watch ye. And let me break that down a little bit. Number one, let me say this. Watch yourself. Learn to watch yourself. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is wicked. No, it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. So let me say it like this. When the Bible says one thing, the preacher preaches one thing, and within you somewhere, you say, but I think. See, there's a problem. A flag ought to go off right there. You need to learn to watch yourself. You're on dangerous ground when you think your opinion supersedes what the Bible has to say. It never does. It never does. It never does. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I know people that have a haughty spirit while pretending to be humble. Oh yeah, we've almost mastered it in some of our churches. That book says, somewhere, Proverbs 18, I thought I'd quote the verse, and I'm not going to turn there, but it does say this, before honor is humility. You better watch yourself. Worst thing ever happened to a preacher, for sure. Worst thing ever happened to a Christian. I mean, everybody, we're very nice to one another, complimentary, at least face to face. No telling what's going on, you know, my little hobby horse there, social media. Amen. But we're all very kind. But I'm going to tell you, the worst thing ever happened to a Christian is to believe all the nice things people say about you. It'll go to your head. They may be true in their intention, but don't let them go to your head, man. You better watch yourself. A haughty spirit comes before a fall. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. He said this in 1 Corinthians 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I told my preacher I'd been, you know, going to church a couple years, and one day after service, I asked my preacher if I could talk to him in his office. So I went in there, and he said, David, what's the problem? And I said, well, here's the problem. The more I learn, the more you preach, the more I learn about Jesus Christ, the more worried I am that I'm going to fail him. I mean, he is unbelievable doing what he did to make a way for David Spurgeon's sins to be forgiven. I don't know about you, but I ain't got over that yet. Amen. Not to mention all the other blessings. I still can't fathom why God committed his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I mean me. And I said, preacher, I'm afraid I'm going to fail him. And you know what my preacher said? And I had some wisdom. He said, David, hold that thought right there and you'll probably be okay. He said, in my experience, he'd been a pastor for 30 years, And he said, in my experience, it's people that think they got a handle on this thing that are the ones that used to fill seats in Baptist churches all over America. People that, well, they'd learned some things, and they'd memorize some verses. I get that. That's true. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen. And I also know that's not what that verse says. But I'm here to tell you, it's people that that have done some things, stood in a corner, maybe taught a class, and they start thinking, I got this. You don't have this. He said, beware. He said, take heed. Let him that thinketh, he said. Listen, we need as much of him as we can get. And the truth is, we can have as much of him as we want. There lies the problem with modern Christianity, because that's exactly what most people have. Just as much as they want. Better watch yourself. Paul told him, he said, watch ye. And number one here on my little list here is, you better watch yourself. No, I'm not done with watch ye. Let's say this. Watch out for friends. Now, when I was young, that word used to mean, it used to refer to people that you're close to. Of course, now we live in a day and age, anybody that'll give you a little thumbs up on the computer and you add them to your friend list. I actually knew my friend. Nowadays, people have, this one girl, I read about this girl, this lady, she was turning 30 years old. She wanted to have a birthday party and invite all her friends to a restaurant. And remember restaurants? It's a place, never mind. And yeah, I know, things are changing. All of her friends were virtual. They were online. She didn't even know where half of them lived. And they communicated. She didn't have a half a dozen real breathing people that could even, wish her a happy birthday. That's the day and age in which we live. I'm here to tell you something. You better watch out for your friends. That book says in Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Amen. You know what a friend will do? Friend will care enough about you to tell you the truth, even when it's not popular. Amen. And nobody likes to be reproved. Nobody likes to be rebuked. But you better get some people around you that care enough about you that'll pull your coat. That's what we used to say in the street. Pull your coat and say, amen. Maybe you better think about that before you head down that road. Says that the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'm going to tell you what that means. You need to beware of anybody that tells you what you want to hear. Oh, man, I learned that years ago. They met way before I got saved. Somebody tells you what you want to hear, it means they want something. Did you hear what I said, ladies? Did you hear what I said, you young girls? You'll find some boy out there, boy, he'll tell you exactly what you want to hear, and oftentimes it's because he wants something. You better keep your guard up. You better stay close to mom and dad when that time in your life occurs. I'll amen myself, because you mom and dad should amen at that one. That didn't work either? All right, I warned you. Amen, Brother Spurgeon! That's right. Mm-hmm. You got to do that stuff these days in evangelism. Amen. Watch out for your friends. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know what you need to do? You know what kind of friends you need to have? You need to surround yourself with friends that will sharpen you spiritually. Yeah, and by the way, along with that comes a responsibility to be that kind of friend to others. That book says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. And then verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Everything that's going on in the world tells us that the day is approaching. What day? Day of the Lord. Lord's coming back. Amen. It's hard to exhort somebody if you're AWOL. You hear me? We're supposed to consider one another and provoke one another into loving Jesus Christ and doing more for him. And if I get around a crowd and all that, I like to ride motorcycles, but I ride with Christians. Amen. And if I went back and started riding with the old crew, man, my thinking flesh would be happy to go back and doing some of the things I used to do. I don't trust myself. Amen. I preach to empty pews all over America every week where people trusted themselves more than they should have. Now they're out. Amen. We need to pray for them. Come back. Let's keep the door open. for him to come back. But tell you what, why not just adopt this policy? Paul said, watch ye. And watch yourself, and then watch your friends, and then watch for the devil. Do you realize tonight that the devil is alive and well? Amen. I mean, I'm looking forward to him getting what he deserves in Revelation chapter 20, but that's a ways off. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Isn't that an interesting word? Doesn't that word show up an awful lot these days? Everybody's got all these devices. That book says we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, the context in the passage in 2 Corinthians 2 is unforgiveness. And he'll use that, man. He uses that. But that ain't his only device. I mean, he uses envy, he uses pride, he uses lust. And we got a Bible that will give us a heads up, amen, and you better watch out for him because you're no match for him. I'll amen that too if you don't. This thing says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Remember that one? Genesis chapter 3, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me tell you, I don't know much about religion. I know enough that I'm glad I didn't get any. Amen? But here's what I know about it. Religion complicates what God intended to be simple. Now, if an old drunk, drug addict, professional criminal can get saved in a jail cell at 6 o'clock in the morning, it was pretty simple. The ingredient is be honest with yourself and then be honest with God. Let's face it. You know you're a sinner. He knows you're a sinner. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, died on the cross for what? For sins. Whose sins? Yours. Amen. Now you get a hold of that and you get saved and the devil will still keep you out of the good fight of faith, and you need to watch the devil. It said as the serpent beguiled Eve, his goal is much greater than to beguile. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Devour. That's kind of like what was going on with them chicken wings last night at Cronies. I mean, bones were flying. But if you ever see a lion in the wild, buddy, you know what devour means? It means eat alive. When that lion closes in on what? What do lions eat? As far as I can tell, anything they want. Amen? What are you hungry for today? Antelope, zebra, I don't know. Yeah, they just pick. Amen. And devour means to eat alive. And listen, I understand. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is more doctrinally sound than some professing Christians. What do you mean? He knows you can't lose your salvation. He knows you can lose everything else, though. And that's his goal. And if he can get your testimony, and he can get your family, your marriage, he can get your kids, if he can keep you from, like the preacher said one night, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. That's in heaven. You'll still go to heaven. But boy, I'll tell you what you're going to go empty-handed because you let the devil get the victory on you? I'm telling you, watch out for the devil. The Bible tells us over and over. Amen. We're no match for him, but he's no match for our Savior. I guess common sense would say get as close to the Savior as you can. Bible says submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Paul told this church as he signs off that first epistle, he says, watch, watch ye. Let me say this to you. Watch for the Lord. You need to watch for the Lord. Paul, that was his emphasis of his life. He said, looking for that blessed open, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you looking for that? Amen? I mean, when you get up, do you realize that tomorrow could be the day? Amen? Do you realize that? Or is your mind on your retirement or your cabin or your cabin in the Adirondacks or your next fishing trip, whatever? I'm going to tell you what, it's okay. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. But I'll tell you what ought to be on the forefront of a Bible believer's mind is that his return is imminent, which isn't like, oh, good, I get to get out of here. No, that ought to provoke you to get busy, because I know people that will get left behind, and so do you. We need to take our testimony more seriously than we do, because the Lord's coming back. It says in Matthew 24 and 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such, and the Lord said it, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming. Now before video games and that kind of stuff, I mean, when I was a kid in the 50s, we used to go outside. And there was a game, my cousins would come over, and we'd play hide and seek. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Amen. And I don't know what, I hope you're still getting outside, kids. At least for this little window that you get up here without a snowmobile suit on. Amen. But on that thing, hide and seek. Did I say that right? Hide and seek. How'd that go? Somebody counts down. And hopefully doesn't cheat. No, I don't want to go there. But when they get done, they say, ready or not, here I come. Yeah. I don't know who invented the game of hide and seek, but I know who invented that. And the Lord's not playing games when he says it. He says, be ye also ready. And here's what you need to be ready for there. It says in Romans 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Not the mommy, not the daddy, not your spouse, not your preacher. You're giving an account. You're going to give an account of what you did with the life that he bought for you with his blood. We get excited. We come to church. We get a little preaching. We sing a few songs. And sometimes we act like, oh, the Lord's coming and we're going to get out of here finally. Some of us are way more looking forward to our disappearing than we are his appearing. I'm going to tell you what, you need to learn to look for him and wanting to see him and not just get out of your house payment or whatever. Amen. And some of us, we look at it like, okay, I'm going up, and I'm going to meet all my friends, and then, boom, we're going to come down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Unless you're a bride, right? They got a whole different philosophy there, and it's wrong. You're going to come down. Listen, man, there's a little parenthesis between the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it's called the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account. Amen? We're going to give an account of what we did with the opportunities. And I think I said it the other day, I'm not sure, but I guarantee, I believe this, I believe every one of us is going to wish we'd have done more. And it'll be too late. It's over. If we could get a hold of that now, we could do more now. Amen? So, first thing he said was, watch ye. And so watch yourself. Watch your friends. Make sure you got the right kind of friends. Amen? And then watch out for the devil. Amen? And then watch for the Lord. And then that's number one. See, four sub-point, I know. And then he said this. What did he say next? How did it say? It said, stand fast. I got to make sure. Stand fast in the faith. We got veterans in here. They know what stand fast means. It means don't move. Amen. Don't waver. Don't move. Stand fast. He said this in Philippians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, think about this. This is the Apostle Paul addressing an epistle, a letter to a church, not unlike this. And here's what he says. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Get the idea that he liked them? Wouldn't you like to have Paul say something about like that about you? Amen. Wouldn't you like the Lord to have that kind of attitude toward you? Dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. He said, stand fast in the faith. And Paul wrote those words, stand fast, six times in his epistles to the church. And you find at the end of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 16 there, he writes, stand fast in the faith. Amen. Here's why we need the admonishment here and those other times. Because 1 Timothy, go there, 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse number 1. And the Bible says this, Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That means clearly, plainly. Amen. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. To depart from the faith means you are in the faith at one time. In other words, it can happen to a child of God. Believe me, it does happen to children of God. And if it can happen to somebody else, it can happen to you. It can happen to me. Amen. You don't have this thing. You don't have a handle on this thing. Amen. You're not beyond, man, I'll tell you what, we got too many illustrations of people that got full of the wrong thing. And the remedy for that thing is to stand fast in the faith. He said this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty. You an American in here tonight? Do we like liberty? I like liberty. Amen. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I like freedom. Amen. And then it says this, and he's talking to Christians, just like I am, for the most part, I would think, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Before you got saved, you are entangled in the yoke of bondage. Guess what? You don't heed what that book says. You don't heed what that verse says, and you can become entangled again and still saved. Only now, when I was lost, I thought I was having a good time. If I went back to that life now, I wouldn't be having a good time. I'd have a miserable time. The Holy Spirit of God within me would be quenched. Let me say this. Some of the meanest people that I've ever met, and are definitely the most miserable people that I've ever met, are backslidden Christians. They got too much world in them to enjoy God and too much God in them to enjoy the world, and they're just miserable. Now, why don't you just make up your mind and get all the way in or get all the way out? Because you get all the way out, the devil, both of them will be all over you to a degree that you'll probably end up coming back. But you'll sure enough wish you never left if you make it back. Amen. That's pretty good preaching. I do say so myself. Well, I got to say something, get a response. You guys looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. It says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Bondage is, I've been locked up more times than I want to remember. Amen. And what he's talking about there, you can be in bondage to carnal fleshly lust. Amen. And you're not above getting sucked back into some of that. It happens. Amen. But I know brethren that are in bondage to false doctrine. I know people that are in bondage to religious ritual. It doesn't matter. Bondage is bondage. Amen. That's why he's addressing it in the book of Galatians, because they had a temptation to get back into being in bondage of religion. God set us free. Amen. That's not the freedom to do whatever you want. He gave you the freedom to live for Him. You can. You really can. Any born-again believer can live for God, can make a difference. Amen. Anybody can. Amen. I know it's true. Let me just say this. Bondage is bondage. And you ought to not want to even risk getting close to anything that qualifies as bondage. Let me explain it like this. Now, I was locked up a few times, and I was down in Fort Lauderdale one year back in the 80s, and one of the guys was killed, and about 300 or 400 of us converged down to Fort Lauderdale clubhouse, and we do the funeral and do the gun salute, and then we go back clubhouse party for a couple days, so the cops rolled in, the feds rolled in, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, they brought the fire department, they came on us about It was December, and they came in on us just as it was getting dark. So it was probably only like 5. And the fire trucks rolled in. The cops surrounded us. And firemen are up on the roof with big old floodlights. They lit that place up like daylight. And now they got us all, you know, and we're like, you know, that was normal stuff. So no, we weren't too excited. And we're kind of giving the police a hard time. And they brought out one of these little, back then they had to bring out a cart on wheels with a little, remember that? Some of you might remember that little Polaroid one-shot, Instamatic camera type of thing. And they were going to take pictures of every one of us. So we knew we were going to be there all night. And they're going to fingerprint everyone. And this was back when you had to do fingerprints with ink. When I went to jail in Toronto 10 years ago, I found out they just scan your hand. I went, wow, this is great technology. I mean, I wished I would have never found out. I was on my way to preach, okay? I wasn't doing anything wrong. So they're going to do all that, and we're laughing at them, going, yeah, we're just giving them a hard time. And finally, the lieutenant, he was, because we were making them nervous, way more than they were making us nervous. So one of the lieutenants said, cuff every one of them. And we started laughing, because we know they'd have to bring in a semi with enough handcuffs to handcuff all us. That was the night I was introduced to, I don't know what they call them, but I called them wire ties back then. Those flexi-cuffs, it just came back then. The nylon zip ties, right? And that, you know, you guys watch television a lot, you've seen them. And they put your hands on your back, and they put those zip ties. And so I never heard them. We'd never seen them. They pull them out, and we're laughing again. We're big, tough bikers. And the old plastic little band ain't going to hold us. And boy, when they zipped that thing on, I was like, whoa, this thing ain't moving. It hurt worse than handcuffs. You start wiggling, and next thing you know, you're bleeding. Amen. And then we're laughing at each other. And what am I saying? Listen, whether it's bondage to carnal sin or just a critical spirit, bondage is bondage. You need to learn to stand fast in the faith so you don't get entangled again. He told him, he said, stand fast in the faith. Then he says this, number 3, quit you like men. Now that's kind of, we don't talk like that anymore. Let me give you the definition of the word quit. To carry through, to do something to the end so that nothing remains. To discharge or perform completely. That's what it means in the Bible. Amen. It says this in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Amen. You got started, finish what you start. That's what it means. These days, people start things and too often don't have the character to see them through. And Paul challenges these Christians, and the Holy Spirit challenges you and I not to be that way. If you're a man, act like a man. If you're a lady, act like a lady. I had a little 5-year-old girl one time, and I was saying, Evie, act like a lady. No, I didn't. That was another time. I said, Evie, you act like a 5-year-old. She looked at me and she said, Dad, I am a 5-year-old. She is a pretty sharp 5-year-old, I'll tell you. Amen. And what are you saying to her? Listen. It was okay if you're 5, act 5. If you're 25, act 25. If you're 50, you understand what I'm saying? Let's act like who we're supposed to be for the glory of God. Amen. All right, I'm not done here. Nope. If I can get this. There you go. In this day and age, people must interpret the word as meaning quit. Quit being men. Or quit as in stop. Quit, you're like men. They must think it means stop being men. Maybe that's why modern Christianity has little attraction to real men. Amen. Because it's so feminine. Don't be given. I don't do group hugs, okay? I don't sing kumbaya. Give me a break. I'm going to tell you what, God brought me out of the jailhouse and put me in a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, that was full of, some of them were ex-cons and some of them were Vietnam vets. And I'm going to tell you, they were men that made a purpose in their heart that they're going to live for Jesus Christ. And that's where I learned it. Amen. My heroes are people that live for God. Anybody can go with the flow. Amen. You got no excuse. Amen. All of us start out in the same place, but I tell you what, you get in that Bible, you get on your knees, you get around some people that are living for God, guess what? You'll learn how to live for God. You'll get some victory over your flesh. Quit making excuses. Amen? Amen. Yeah, I said that about modern Christianity becoming so effeminate. You wish I was just talking about the charismatics, don't you? I heard this joke. Peter, everybody knows Peter's the doorman of heaven. I can't find it in my Bible. I'm sure it's in there, but I haven't found it yet. So Peter's up there, not in heaven, to get in heaven. You didn't know this either, so don't trust me. There's two doors, and that's not men and women. That's just for the men. And so there's two doors, and Peter comes out, and over one of the doors it says, this is the door for men whose wives ran the home. And I mean, there's a line, cloud to cloud, it's light as far as you can see. And over here, the other door, it says, this is the door for men to enter who were the spiritual head of their home. One guy standing there, one guy. Peter looks at the line, he looks at the guy, he walks over, he says, wow, what's the deal? Why do you think it's like this? And the guy says, I don't know, my wife told me to stand over here. I'm going to tell you what, you know, I don't know if you ever heard the saying, man up. But it's time for men to be men for the glory of God. And don't get me wrong, there's a very, very important place for ladies, too. According to Philippians chapter 3 or 4, I think it's 3, Paul talking about fellow laborers, and he's talking about women, too. That gal right there that puts up with me, I know, it looks easy. Probably isn't all the time. She's a fellow laborer, Jesus Christ, and we got more than a few of them in this room. And I tell you what, you get started, then let's finish what we start for the glory of God, and maybe we'll end up with something to give Jesus Christ to show our gratitude for what he's done for us. I'm talking about a crown there. You understand what I'm saying? All right, number one, watch ye. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, what was it again? Quit. You like men. Means finish what you start. And number four, it says, be strong. That's it. Gets right to the verse. He says those two words. He says, be strong. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, he told Timothy this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Joshua said it like this in chapter 1 and verse 9. He said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Was an old preacher from Florida that helped many, many people. And many of them will never give him the credit he deserves. But you open a Bible and you see Peter Sturgis Ruckman's name, you're going to see that verse right there. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. When Paul said, be strong, he's not talking about how much you can bench press. I know guys that can bench 300, 350 pounds, but the thought of going out, like Brother Roy's been trying to encourage you to do on Saturday, the thought of going out in public on a street and holding a sign scares them to death. Amen. I preach to tough guys. We got some tough guys in our crowd. Amen. And I preach to tough guys all the time. They'll say, yeah, if somebody comes in here with a gun, well, we're going to shoot them. They'll be ready to fight. And I don't doubt they mean it. I don't doubt they mean it. But they don't have the guts to tell their coworkers about Jesus Christ. Or invite them to church. Amen. When Paul says be strong, he's talking about the strength to stand up for what's right. And that's how he leaves this church with those words. Be strong. Anybody can go with the flow. Amen. And most do. Amen. Doesn't have to be that way. Four things to remember. In the days to come, weeks, months, I don't know if it'll be a year. I think the Lord's coming back. This is an exciting time to me. Amen. I was a paratrooper. We got inserted where there were problems. We're behind enemy lines. That's what we wanted. Hey, folks, we're behind enemy lines. God put a lot of trust in us. Amen. Let's do what he said. Let's watch our step. Let's watch our surroundings. Let's watch for the enemy. And then let's stand fast in the faith and finish what we started and be strong. Amen. Four things. I hope it's a blessing to you because like I said, we're on the schedule to be back in 3 years. I doubt it. I think we'll see each other before that on the way up. I do. And I could be wrong. And if the Lord doesn't come back in 3 years, it's because we're not done. Because there's still work to be done. Because there's souls that'll get saved. So let's get busy. Amen? But I hope that's an encouragement to you. But, you know, one more thing. Yeah, that was all in verse 13. But look at verse 14. I'm talking about four things to remember. But verse 14 says, let all that stuff be done with charity, with the right attitude, with the right heart. You know, charity, real Reader's Digest definition is love in action. That's why when the NIV wants to call that the love chapter, we'd be getting off easy. That, I mean, you put feet to it. You walk it like you talk it. That's what charity is. The greatest example of charity there ever was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am glad I got in on that. How about you tonight? Have you gotten in on it? Are you saved? Amen. You need to be. You can be. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That ain't deep. Whosoever means exactly what it says. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, people come to church all the time. They're trying to get victory over areas and issues in their life. Praise the Lord. That's a good start. But I'm going to tell you what. You need to have your sins forgiven. That's what this is. This isn't an AA meeting. This is forgiveness. And if you've never been saved, you don't have the assurance. You're coming, you're doing your best. Maybe you've made some progress. You know, clean and sober people go to hell just like drunks and drug addicts. Amen? Good, decent, hardworking, honest, moral people go to hell just like perverts. If they die without the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing them from all sin. What a shame. We can all think of a crowd that probably deserves to be there. But at the same time, sometimes we don't see ourselves as sinners. When you compare yourself to others, you might be doing real good. But that isn't who we're going to be compared to, each other. Compared to Jesus Christ, we've all come short. We'd have no hope, no chance. But he said, it says over there in Titus chapter 2, who gave himself. God gave his Son, his only begotten Son, to make a way for us to be forgiven. But make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ went to the cross willingly to redeem us from all iniquity. I don't know about you. That's enough for me to try to live for him. And I was out there a long time, almost 38 years I was out there living for the flesh. And I came into this thing with a lot of bad habits, a lot of baggage. I can't even close my eyes when I pray most of the time. That's no one's fault but mine. I wouldn't recommend pushing it that hard. If you're in here tonight, you made it into a church service, you've never been saved, you need to get saved. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not a salesman. I'm not going to try to talk you into something. You better get your sins forgiven once and for all while you can. Amen? Now, the rest of you Christians, I don't know what your testimony is. I haven't seen some of you ever, and I haven't seen a lot of you for 4 years. And I appreciate you're here and you've been here. Some of you have been here every night. But if there's an area in your life that the Holy Spirit has put his finger on between Sunday morning and tonight, or something completely else, completely different, you need to do business with God. And you need to get that thing taken care of before this final amen. And we get busy with all the activities and the outreaches and all that. Don't keep putting it off. Let's all stand. Altars open. Let's do business with God.